This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 20 July 2018. Well, looking at the market in review, a lot is riding on what bond prices do from here. There is a bounce in the global bond yields, and the dollar is weakening somewhat. It is overbought. Falling commodity prices have boosted bond prices, and we look to see that there's probably a strengthening in the yield of treasuries, especially the 10-year. And this will just be slight. Just means that the debt markets, when I whine about every week, still look strong and probably be a bit stronger. It doesn't mean that this is going to continue indefinitely. It won't. But for the time being, for this week, my weekly perspective, bonds are doing okay. Moving on. This is from Bloomberg, the first one up here on the screen. Global economy lives on the edge as crisis veterans sound alarms. Officials are gathering for the Group of 20 meeting in Buenos Aires, and they hear growing fears that a downturn may be brewing from various concerns of the global economy while central bankers find their place in the policy tightening cycle and trade battles rage on. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but talking, of course, the most important markets again. And this is a curve here, a graph. This time is different, plotting the U.S. yield curve, getting closer to inversion and repeating from the last one or two weekly perspectives that I've done. An inverted yield curve means that you get a higher interest rate on the short end of the curve, meaning 6 month, 1 year T-bill type things, than you get at the long end of the curve, which would be 20 or 30 year bonds. And when that happens, there's a big rush, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, but there's a move because bond investors seek yield. So if you get a higher yield for a shorter duration, money moves out of the long end and into the short end. And this has happened. And when it does, every time it means a recession. So something to bear in mind, watch it closely. But as I said at the beginning, for the time being, it looks to be okay. Next one up is from Economica. This is very interesting. I'm going to do a shout out to Max Egan. Most of you that follow me probably may not know of Max. I'm a bit of a fan of his, actually. He is a very open-minded individual and a very free thinker. But back on track, well, the reason I brought up his name is because he questions almost everything, which I love. And he's questioned the population that we have globally, if it's really at this 7 billion mark. Anyway, this week from this website, global births per five-year periods. According to the UN, the world stopped growing around 1988. It's only grown older since then. Births and UN median and low varied estimates through 2040, plus my best estimate of the most likely births. Despite the significantly larger older total population, births continue to languish and appear set to decline. So I won't read the whole thing. It's just I want to bring it to your attention because I think, one, it's something that no one else has talked about to my knowledge. And secondly, most of Harry Dent's work, if you follow Harry Dent at all, has to do with demographics, which means it has to do with the population. And when you're in what range of age and what your purchasing power is and how you spend your money and on and on. And there's a lot of validity to his work, I believe. There's another couple books that I addressed in the Morgan Report years ago that went on this demographics. But this was an interesting one I wanted to point out for everyone. And one I come to fairly regularly, Mish Sedlock, Mish Talk. He's a good thinker and a good writer. And this covers two of the biggest things that I feel are very important for everyone to keep an eye on continuously, and that is trade war with China morphs into a currency war. I've been talking about a currency war for years. Biggest loser is the EC is the EU. And what Mish puts up here at the beginning, of course, is this Trump tweet. When a country, USA, is losing many billions of dollars on trade with virtually every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win. Example, if we cut down $100 billion with a certain country and they get cute, don't trade anymore. We won't win big. And so then Mish goes into analyze this, and he says Trump's logic rests on the notion that China has a huge trade surplus and the U.S. can hurt China more than China can hurt the U.S. Such logic is seriously misguided. Trade is not a zero-sum game. One does not gain by losing less. Losing is losing. Thank you, Mish. Number two, yes, Trump is correct that the U.S. can place more tariffs on Chinese goods than China can place on U.S. goods. However, Trump cannot ignore U.S. farmers, but the unelected leaders in China can suppress all dissent. And three, the U.S. dollar floats, the renminbi or yuan does not. Thus, China can manipulate its currency with risks of capital flight to mitigate some or all of U.S. tariffs. So I would encourage you to go on and read this. I think most people that are bent toward the Austrian perspective when they analyze things economically are probably well aware of this, but wanted to point it out again for everyone's benefit. And next up, of course, it's hard to do one of these perspectives without getting on Zero Hedge, because they put out such great work across the board, especially relating all things financial. This America's gift to the world, visualizing 70 years of U.S. arms exports. And it shows at the bottom here a graph for 2015, the DOD, Department of Defense for the United States, and what they spent to different defense contractors. Top Lockheed Martin with about $30 billion. Under that, Boeing, $15 billion. Raytheon, about $12 billion. General Dynamics, about $12 billion. Northrop, $10 billion. And down it goes. I'm going to try to play this video within this video. I don't know if it'll work or not. I haven't tried it before, so don't hate me. If it doesn't sound good, I'll probably just cut it out. But pay attention to the title here. I think everyone should, you know, take the time. It's only a two-minute video to come back and play it. So let's give it a shot here. So I can't hear it. So basically, it just shows the D.C. area here, and what these different colors are representing are the exports to different nations, such as, you know, green going to Germany, and what's going to the United Kingdom, what's going to Canada, what's going to South America, what's going to the Far East, and what's going to Australia. And you can just see the military-industrial complex. What the U.S. produces? Well, food, yes, but really they produce, as my friend Chris Duane says, it's a death and debt paradigm, and he is right. I mean, let's face it, these weapons are not there to bring goodwill to everyone on the planet. They are there to kill. It's war. And the exports from the United States, as this graphic shows, is quite enlightening if you're not aware of it. I think some are aware of it, but not at the level of what it's really entailed and how much money has been poured into weaponry and war, the war effort. So not something that we like to talk about, or I like to talk about, but certainly a reality of today's world. You know, what do you produce? Produce war, or machines of war, you might say. So I'll leave it at that. I won't belabor it any further. We'll move on to the precious metals, and we'll call it an update. So I'm just going to comment on gold this week and not on silver. I am sure that almost every one of you that listens to my podcast every week knows what happened in the past week, early in the week. And basically what took place was a massive sell-off in gold, and it broke a two-year uptrend. I called the bottom at late December, 2015, I forget the price, 1045 or something, somewhere in that range. And we have gone up and down and up and down and up and down, but the overall trend has been up. And the crossover point was around $1,240. And we broke down from that level quite substantially. What I'm showing you now is from Bloomberg. And this is the Nugget, which is a three times triple strong gold miner index. And it shows that it had more than 80 million shares traded worth over $1.8 billion as of 1:19 p.m. in New York. That is the most volume the $1.2 billion fund has ever seen, and 10 times the average daily turnover for the past year. And here's the graphics to show it. And it shows, of course, the massive amount of volume. Those that follow my work on a casual basis, these free updates know a fair amount. And of course, those that are paid members, premium members, know that volume is key on almost everything. You cannot have that amount of selling without massive repercussions in the price. So you could have that kind of buying, and of course you would get price increase or that amount of selling, and you would, of course, get a price decrease. So I want to remind the baby boomers that, a lot are concerned about whether they have enough saved for retirement or not. And with the Morgan Report, we can help you save and preserve what you have, regardless of economic conditions. And that's basically focusing on the top tier. For those that are facing retirement or in it, and you want to catch up quickly, we have the other two lists, which are more speculative in nature, but also very high abilities to produce large gains in short amount of time. So not get rich quick, but certainly these stocks are selected on their ability to do what I just outlined. Generation X is interesting because they are on track to inherit about $22 trillion by 2030. So again, knowing where to preserve your wealth comes in handy. And the millennials, of course, I would just encourage them to save, but save in money, not in currency. And we outline that for free in our free starter kit at themorganreport.com. Just give us a name and an email, and your first report will give you several opportunities. One will be able to save on a monthly basis in money, means gold and silver, and actually get rewarded for doing so. So that's it. I will be back with you next week with the weekly perspective.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.